Good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you all this evening. And I'm going to do something just a little bit different tonight. I'm going to be comparing Christianity to something. If you all don't know, my job is I'm a peer English tutor at Harrisburg Area Community College. So basically what a peer tutor is that you sit in a room with a bunch of other students slash tutors waiting for students to come in and for you to help them. And I've been doing this for a little bit over a month, not too long, just for as long as the school year's been in play. And I love every second of it. Just, it's one of the most gratifying jobs you could ever have. Well, maybe besides preaching God's word. It's just absolutely amazing just to have students come in and ask you for your help and then just see their eyes light up. So I'm just going to be going through some of the rules, the guidelines, and regulations that peer tutors have that have been stressed in our training that can be applied to Christians' lives. So as I said before, a peer tutor is just a student that helps teach their peers, helps teach other students in a more formal setting. And, you know, as I started work, it just became more and more apparent to me that there were just so many principles that could be applied to Christianity, and they keep popping up as I'm working. And so I just really want to share some of these with you. So first off, no matter who comes to the writing center, we have to help them. They could be demanding, they could be obnoxious, they could have totally different worldviews. We've had Muslims, Catholics, institutional Christians, everyone come in, but we help them. And that is the job of a Christian. If you will please turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 34. Luke chapter 10, verses 30. And it says, "Then Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him." So Samaritans and Jews, they didn't get along. They kind of hated each other. But here we see a Samaritan going out of his way to help a Jew, just leaving behind any past frustrations or any past hatred that existed between the Jews and Samaritans. And he gave from his own heart to help this person. And that's what we as Christians need to do. No matter who comes into our lives, no matter who walks through the doors of the church building, we need to be ready and willing to teach the gospel to them and help them reach salvation. Another principle, we have to be prepared to help a student with just about any problem. I mean, I once had a man come in who could barely speak English and basically asked me to explain an entire book to him. Well, I did my best, but as Christians, we need to have a response ready no matter what questions are asked of us. And we can see this principle in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." So no matter what is asked of us, no matter who asks us, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe? We always have to have an answer at the ready and be ready and willing to teach them. And, excuse me, you never know when you're going to be approached by someone, so you have to be ready at all times. One more principle. You must instill confidence in the student. No matter what problems they may have, no matter how they're treating you, no matter how honestly bad they are at English, you always have to show them that they're doing something right and that they do have the potential. And we can see this in Colossians 3:16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And we can also see in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and it says, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." As Christians, we are to correct each other, but we're just to do it with love. There are ways of going about correcting each other and admonishing one another without being demeaning. And at the same time, we are to encourage each other and build each other up in the faith. One of the major principles that was stressed to us, and one that I had struggled with, is it's okay to tell the student that you don't know something, that you don't know the answer to a question that they have. But what was also stressed is that we don't leave it at that. We always follow them up with an answer from the scriptures. While I don't have a verse to go with this point, there's still a principle here. And when we are unsure of what the Bible says about a given topic, then there's only one place to go, and that's the Bible itself. Whenever we are faced with a question or concern that we can't answer, the safest place to go is the Bible. And even though you, as a peer tutor, or me as a peer tutor, are in the position of authority when a student comes to you, you are still a student yourself. You are still learning, and you will make mistakes. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 talks about this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." I can't tell you how many times I've messed up as a peer tutor and had to correct myself, or had one of my coworkers correct me. And it is kind of embarrassing telling a student that, "Oh, sorry, excuse me, I messed up there. You were right to begin with." But I also can't tell you how many times I have messed up as a Christian. I'm sure that can go for all of us. But as seen in Philippians, the most important thing to do is to repent in your sins, to leave the past behind you, and to look forward to what is ahead. And when you're working with a group in as a peer tutor, not all of you are going to have the same strengths and same weaknesses. For example, I know the MLA format like the back of my hand. You may not know what that is, but it's just the formatting of a paper. While I have absolutely no idea what APA is, it's like a foreign language to me. But one of my coworkers, Victoria, knows APA really well. And so whenever a student comes to me with an APA question, I say, "Hey, Victoria, can you give me a hand with this?" And we see this principle in the Bible too, of relying on one another's strengths and when to make up for our weaknesses. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 14. "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? The whole body, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need for you, no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary." So as you can see, the principle of relying on one another to make up for our weaknesses isn't just something that we deal with in work or as a peer tutor or anywhere. It's something that's expressly stated in the Bible. We need to be relying on our brothers and our sisters for their strengths, and where we may fail, they can succeed and they can help us in our follies. And then one more point from Ecclesiastes 4, chapter 4. And we are in constant need of each other. It isn't because we are called to help others. Just because we are called to help others doesn't mean that we don't need help. And as a peer tutor, we're always encouraged to on our off time to come back to the Writing Center and to get tutoring ourselves. And so if you will turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 10. For if they fall, one will live, or starting in verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. So just because the Bible calls us to help others and to teach others doesn't mean that we don't need it too. We are always in need of being taught the new things in scriptures or even be corrected in some misunderstandings we may have. We always must have someone to talk to that we can discuss with and that can help us through times of need or times of confusion. And that is always something we are in constant need of. And finally, one more point. There is a closing time for the Writing Center. After it closes, we can't help you. Just on Friday, a student was sitting there writing her paper, and on Friday we close at 3 rather than 7:30. And as we were turning off all the other computers, we looked at her and said, can you please wrap up your paper? We're closing. And then her eyes just got really wide, and she was like, "But I'm not done with my paper yet, and I need you guys to look over it for grammar." I said, "We close in 2 minutes. I'll stay with you 5 more minutes, but then you got to be out of here." And as cheesy as it may sound, there's no for sure closing time on our life. There's no definite time. There's no definite time where we will die. We don't know when the Lord will come back. We don't know when our life may end. So we have to use the time we have now to teach as many people as we can, to bring the gospel to as many people as we can. And I felt really bad having to turn that girl away saying, "I can't help you anymore. We're closing." She's going to go and she's going to turn in that paper that was due that same day and turn to the professor not having a grade A paper. And that's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to see those we love and those we care about not know the gospel, to slip away, and not knowing what could happen in the future for them. So we need to take the opportunity and the time we have now to teach those. And we can see this principle in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, which tells us that we are to go out to the world and teach all of those, paraphrasing. We are to teach the gospel to all people. So that's the business we need to be about. We need to be teaching the gospel no matter where we are. These are just a few thoughts of how peer tutor is like a Christian. Thank you.